It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
Solace and freedom begin with a clear understanding of one principle. Some things are within our control, and some things are not. It is only after you have faced up to this fundamental rule and learned to distinguish between what you can and can't control that inner tranquility and outer effectiveness become possible. That age-old quote from the Stoic philosopher Epictetus. Many have resigned themselves to doing nothing to help in the battle for the greater good at this most critical moment in human history. Many have convinced themselves that they are helpless and thus can do nothing to alter the current course of planetary omnicide that's been laid out by the human race. The conclusion of helplessness is a lie, a programmed conditioning of apathy that must be broken if we are to have any chance of awakening the masses in time to salvage what is yet left of Earth's life support system and the web of life. In this broadcast, I'll cover an in-depth interview with a climate engineering, geoengineering insider that is very technically detailed and unimaginably sobering. Is our time on this planet almost at an end? Biosphere implosion will make all other points completely moot, something that must be deeply considered and grasped. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour for December 30th, 2017. This is a commercial-free news hour brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings 6 AM to 7, and Sunday mornings from 7 AM to 8. Global Alert News is also broadcast on the East Coast by the PRN Radio Network at 2 PM Eastern Time. And to those other broadcasters, in addition to those I've mentioned, who are picking up this program, because we don't ask for anything for monetization, we simply ask that others help us to sound the alarm while it still matters. So for those that are picking up this program, thank you. Thank you for helping us to expose the dire data we try desperately to present. Before getting to this week's installment of that data, two reminder announcements. Again, if you're in the Shasta County, Redding region, near Orchard Nutrition, there are materials there for free at Orchard Nutrition. They're in the vitamin section. If you speak to the staff there, you can get a DVD on the critical issue of lethal vaccinations, climate engineering, and 9/11. Three primary issues that illustrate just how far off the rails the train is with our modern industrialized societal juggernaut of insanity and those who control it. Reminder also of the Jim Fair event, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E, staunch allies in the fight to expose and halt climate engineering. This week's Jim Fair event in Santa Rosa, California, or excuse me, not this week's, but January 5th through January 7th in the Sonoma County Fairgrounds, fully stocked Geoengineering Watch informational booth there. You can get free materials to help circulate and thus to help us sound the alarm. The following week's Jim Fair event is in Del Mar, California, January 12th through January 14th at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Again, you can look up coming events at the Jim Fair home website, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E. As 2017 comes to an end, I want to again drive home this bottom line conclusion that all should consider and remember that biosphere implosion is the bottom line. It is the triggering aspect or mechanism of so much insanity that's going on around the globe right now as the power structure is pushed further and further into a corner in their quest for resources to keep their military-industrial juggernaut of insanity moving forward. Global conflict is their final option. Before I get to the interview that I mentioned at the beginning of this program, here's a few headlines that outline this fact, the desperation of the military-industrial complex. A headline to consider from TheHill.com, top Marine general, there's a war coming. The Commandant of the Marine Corps, General Robert Neller, told troops that, quote, there's a war coming, end quote, and urged them to be prepared for this war. The commandant pointed to Russia and the Pacific Theater as the next major areas of conflict, predicting a, quote, big-ass fight, end quote, in the future. What a simplistic and revealing statement of the militaristic arrogance and ignorance that runs our society. Yes, global conflict will likely be the final hand of an out-of-control power structure that is forced to confront a dying planet, which their very actions were instrumental in killing. For all those that still choose to falsely believe that the United States government would never do anything to harm U.S. citizens, here's a new report from Mother Jones Journal and other sources. Here's the headline. Atomic tests during the 1950s probably killed nearly 500,000 Americans. From this report, after 1949, the U.S. moved most of its atomic bomb testing from the South Pacific to a test facility in Nevada. These were all above-ground tests that generated an immense amount of radioactive fallout, including an especially dangerous isotope of iodine called iodine-131. The highest concentrations are immediately downwind of the Nevada test site, with some hot zones in New Jersey and upstate New York. Fortunately, these are areas of mostly sparse population, but unfortunately, this doesn't matter, because it's not the primary way that iodine-131 kills people. Most of it ends up being carried by high-altitude winds and then deposited by rainfalls throughout the country. From there, it gets into pasture land and then into the milk supply, where it attacks the thyroid. It turns out that the victims were mostly quite far away from Nevada. A combination of extensive dairy farming and high populations meant that most fatalities were in the upper Midwest, extending all the way over to the eastern seaboard. A rough calculation suggests that the total death toll from testing, nuclear testing during the 1950s, came in at about 400,000, far higher than most previous estimates. Children were disproportionately affected because they drink more milk and have smaller thyroids. Our government testing nuclear weapons on our soil. Not that it is acceptable anywhere on the planet. Not acceptable. Did they ask anyone's permission to do this? Of course not. Thus, back to the climate engineering insanity in our skies that so many Americans try to convince themselves our government would never do without our knowledge and consent. And what an incredibly naive notion of total willful denial. Does any rational being, any rational citizen, individual, believe that our government would ask our permission, or any government would ask the permission of their citizens? Of course not. And much more on that in a few moments in this program. I want to finish with several more headlines that lead up to this interview. This headline from thedesertsun.com. Preparing for a drier future along the Colorado River. After a 17-year run of mostly dry years, the Colorado River's flow has decreased significantly below the 20th century average. Lake Mead, the largest reservoir in the country, now stands at just 39% of capacity. It must be understood that the climate engineers can shut off precipitation for as long as they want to wherever they want. They can shut it off. They have. As I brought up in so many previous programs, the excessive aerosolization of the storm track, too many condensation nuclei, disrupts precipitation completely. This has been done in all the Middle Eastern countries that were targeted after 9/11, 9/11 being the false flag that led up to this. I've been over this many times. It is not a coincidence that every single destabilized and toppled Middle Eastern country underwent a once-in-1,000-year drought prior to the destabilization. What do we see happening in the U.S. now along the West Coast? Yet again, precipitation is being cut off. I've covered this in previous years. Engineered drought catastrophe target California. Presentations and data that can be looked at by any who care to investigate. And while our bought and paid for lying meteorologists, the script reading meteorologists in every major disseminating agency continue to deceive the population, pretending that the weather patterns we see are somehow just natural. At some point, soon, I hope, I pray, if we can expose climate engineering, if all pull together in the battle to expose climate engineering, expose it and halt it, all those who participated in the cover-up can be exposed and held legally and morally accountable. This includes every single meteorologist that is towing the line for the power structure and reading the scripts they are given, which are absolute lies designed to cover the tracks of the climate engineers that are fueling increased weather whiplash, destroying our skies, skies that so many days look like something from another planet, something from a science fiction movie. One of the primary goals of the climate engineers is to try to reduce atmospheric relative humidity at immense cost to the overall planet. Why would they do this? Because water vapor is a greenhouse gas as well. But this myopic view of the climate is pushing the planet toward certain near-term omnicide. The arrogance of the climate engineers is unimaginable. The attempt to, quote, engineer Earth's life support systems is the epitome of human insanity. Humidity must be allowed to rise. The hydrological cycle must be allowed to resume. The planet must be allowed to respond on its own to the damage done to it by the human race. But as this humidity rises, it does present grave dangers. Again, dangers that have been created by anthropogenic activity in the planet. Here's a headline from multiple sources. Humidity may prove breaking point for some areas as temperatures rise, says new study. The study is from the Earth Institute at Columbia University. From the U.S. South to China, heat stress could exceed human endurance. It already is, by the way. I'll get to some of those points in a moment. Climate scientists say that killer heat waves will become increasingly prevalent in many regions as the climate warms. However, most projections leave out a major factor that could worsen things, humidity. And again, with these studies, it's not could. There's no could. This, again, we're back to the point of saying if you leap out in front of a speeding semi, you could get hurt. These are indisputable facts that the climate science community still downplays by using words like could, might, may. You get the idea. So back to that point. Could worsen things. Humidity, which can greatly magnify the effects of heat alone, and not can, it does greatly magnify. Keep this in mind. Keep these semantics in mind. It matters. Now, a new global study projects that in coming decades, the effects of high humidity in many areas will dramatically increase. At times, they may surpass humans' ability to work or, in some cases, even survive. Health and economics would suffer, especially in regions where people work outside and have little access to air conditioning. Potential affected regions include large swaths of the already muggy southeastern United States, the Amazon, western and central Africa, southern areas of the Mideast, Arabian Peninsula, and northern India, and eastern China. The conditions we're talking about basically never occur now. Now, let me stop right there. They're already occurring. Already occurring. We've had heat indexes in the Middle East and India in previous years of 165 degrees. That's the feels-like temperature. It's already happening. Understand that. Reports like this never state the direness and immediacy of what's unfolding. Report continues. People in most places have never experienced such heat indexes, said the author Ethan Coffell, a graduate student at Columbia University's Lamont Earth Observatory. But they're projected to occur close to the end of the century. Total lie. Absolute lie. It's happening now. This is where with such reports, when you hear scientists talking about things that will come in the mid-century or the end of the century, it's an absolute lie designed to pacify the populations as to what's unfolding right now. The report continues. The study will appear in this week in the Journal of Environmental Research Letters. The warming climate is projected to make many now dry areas drier in parts by changing precipitation patterns. I just went over this. The single greatest disrupting factor with the hydrological cycle is climate engineering. The elephant in the room that academia will not admit to, betraying the population and thus betraying the entire human race. Academia. Lying. Report continues. By the same token, as global temperatures rise, the atmosphere can hold more water vapor. Already stated that as well. That means chronically humid areas located along coasts or otherwise hooked into human weather patterns may only get more so. And as many people know, muggy heat is more oppressive than a dry heat. That's because humans and other animals cool their bodies by sweating. Sweat evaporates off the skin into the air, taking the excess heat with it. It works nicely in the desert, but when the air is already crowded with moisture, think muggiest days of summer in the city, evaporation off the skin slows down or shuts off. It eventually becomes impossible for this evaporative process to occur. One's body core temperature rises beyond the narrow, tolerable range. Absent air conditioning, organs strain and then start to fail. The results are lethargy, sickness, and in worse conditions, death. Using global climate models, the researchers in the new study mapped current and projected future, quote, wet bulb temperatures, which reflect the combined effects of heat and humidity, or more simply stated, the feels-like temperature. Quote, lots of people would crumble well before you reach wet bulb temperatures or anything close, end quote, said co-author Radley Horton, a climate scientist at Lamont Doherty. Quote, they run into terrible problems, end quote, Horton said. The result could be, quote, transformative, end quote, for all areas of human endeavor, economy, agriculture, military, and recreation. Remember that word he just stated, could be transformative. Not could be, will, is, already, we're here. It's not on the horizon. It's here. It's happening now. We're already there. The wet bulb temperature threshold has already occurred multiple times in recent years, with heat indexes up to 165 degrees occurring in India and the Middle East. Why do I focus so much on the state of the climate? Because nothing else matters. If Earth's life support systems fail, game over. Nothing else will matter at that point. All other challenges, causes, interests become moot. The theater we see on TV that any sane, rational being that understood the wider horizon would see as total theater of insanity and distraction designed to occupy the population's attention while the planet literally implodes around them. That's where we're at. And of all the forms of anthropogenic activity that are decimating the planet, and there are too many to even begin to cover in such a broadcast, climate engineering is mathematically the single greatest assault against the planet and the web of life at this moment in time, the greatest threat we face short of nuclear cataclysm. The geoengineers and their myopic approach to believing they can play God with the planet's life support systems are trying to reduce atmospheric RH, relative humidity, while having no apparent understanding of the overall complexity of the planet's processes. We're all on the road to Venus Syndrome. Search Venus Syndrome online and investigate just how dire and immediate our collective realities are. A final headline before I cover the interview with a geoengineering insider. This headline is from truthout.org. Apocalyptic melting transpires in Antarctica as Earth wraps up a scorching year. The signs of a runaway anthropogenic climate disruption, acronym ACD, continue to mount with each passing month. And for the record on this report and others, it's not just Antarctica, it's of course the Arctic. The Arctic is imploding, and even though we see figures from the science community that cover the ice extent, the surface area, which is now measured in just slush that's being chemically nucleated by the climate engineers, what matters is the mass, the volume, which has plummeted. The Arctic is very near a blue ocean event. Ice-free Arctic. What happens then? Venus Syndrome, as I just stated. Final excerpt from one excerpt from this report from Truthout covering the Arctic. The Arctic Ocean is now starting to look more and more like the Atlantic Ocean. This is due to the fact that the summer Arctic ice is melting rapidly and the waters are warming. Why is the disappearance of Arctic ice so catastrophic for life on Earth? Because it is the ice that has kept the methane time bomb frozen. Now that methane is being released. It cannot be stopped. And the climate engineers, in their attempt to mask what is unfolding from the public for as long as possible, have actually fueled Venus Syndrome. They've fueled the methane release overall. Short-term toxic cooldowns at the cost of an even worse planetary warming. Why are they spraying? Answers from an insider. And again, why is this interview so important? Because it makes clear the fact that when the planet implodes and the life support systems of the planet implode, nothing else matters. This interview transcript is not new, though few have examined and considered it. I first found and read this interview some 12 years ago. Though there is, of course, no possible way to confirm the authenticity of the interview, the data is complex, articulate, and scientifically accurate in regard to many specific verifiable points mentioned. This being said, we must also consider that this is the view of an insider, one that has accepted the rationale of the spraying. There's an epidemic of big-picture blindness that is rampant in the circles of government scientists. They are all, quote, compartmentalized. They carry out their work in a bubble. I previously recorded my communications with another geoengineering insider, part one and part two. That can be found online. In these conversations, the rationalization of those involved with the spraying programs is all too evident. Their lack of knowledge regarding the overall consequences of the programs they have helped to orchestrate is also shockingly obvious. They have all been trained to believe that it is not only man's right to interfere with nature, but his duty. It is this kind of thinking that has put us on the current course of mathematically certain near-term extinction. We must change directions, beginning with fully exposing and halting the climate engineering insanity. The use of polymer fibers is one of the first issues addressed in this interview. And the recent rash of filament fallout incidents from the atmospheric spraying is of considerable concern. Webs have been utilized for biological experimentation going back as far as the 1960s. The insider in this interview either does not know about this fact or isn't willing to discuss it. There's a great deal of information presented in this interview transcript, but again, it is from an insider's perspective based on the information and conclusions he was given by the power structure he served. Speaking out about such programs is a lethal violation. Those who break their silence will be dealt with in the harshest imaginable fashion by agencies like the CIA and Homeland Security. Converging catastrophes are closing in on us all. Who will continue to hide in the shadows? Who will stand up and make their voice heard for the greater good? What will you do? This interview, titled Deep Shield, was first posted on the homestead.ca website in May of 2003. It is important to consider and remember this data as it gives us a starting point to the timelines of planetary implosion outlined in the interview. Now that we're almost 15 years further along, the validity of this interview becomes yet more apparent. After over 15 years of my own research into the critical issue of global climate engineering, I believe now, more than ever, that this exchange was, in fact, authentic with an insider of the geoengineering programs who was found dead shortly after the interview was conducted. Before covering the extensive and extremely dire information contained in the interview itself, here's a final statement from the interviewer himself. I received word early today that the Deep Shield, the geoengineering insider, had committed suicide late last Sunday afternoon in his home in Emeryville, Berkeley, Oakland area of California. The method used was to run a hose from his car's exhaust pipe into the closed car in his garage. His wife found his body, and she says that there was no suicide note. However, her late husband's behavior and mood for the past month had been extremely agitated and dark. The police are not pursuing this is a homicide because it is, in their mind, a clear-cut case of suicide. There will be the usual inquest, autopsy, and most likely very quiet funeral due to the nature of the death. Our most sincere condolences are offered to his family. Some may be wondering if further information will be forthcoming, but at this time, out of respect for the family, there will be no name or credentials given. Perhaps at a future date, his widow will be asked if more information should be revealed. It will be her decision. The individual featured in the interview appears to have an inside track on the chemtrail/geoengineering spraying programs. There was an opportunity to ask specific questions relating to the aerial spraying operations, and the insider then answered the questions. I knew of the insider's place of employment, and the facts presented conform to the type of activities that are carried out there. The responses have the tone of someone with a detailed inside knowledge, but for reasons of confidentiality, it is unsigned. As I cover this interview again, aside from the specific geoengineering operational details, it is imperative to remember it is a perspective of a scientist that had been convinced or had convinced himself that geoengineering was a final necessary option. Such a conclusion could not be further from rational deduction if all available data is examined. The interview is titled Points to Ponder, the Shield Project. Here we quote the communication from, quote, Deep Shield. Having read your email, I must say that you are full of questions. These questions I would dismiss immediately as being the frustrated attempts of fringe groups to bring a halt to the project. However, these reports of biological material being part of the spray should be addressed. Therefore, I will give as much attention to all of your questions as possible. Interview asked, what purpose do polymer threads embedded with biological material serve in this scenario? Polymers are part of the mixture, and they do form the threads in the tufts, and the idea is simple and comes to us from the spider. As you may know, spider webbing is very light. Some newborn spiders spin a parachute to catch the prevailing breeze to travel far from their place of birth. Spiders have been able to attain high altitudes and travel great distances for long periods of time. Most of the elements used in the spray are heavier than air. Even in their powdered form, they are heavier and will sink quickly. Mixing them with the polymer suspends the particles in the atmosphere high above the surface for longer periods of time. Therefore, in theory, we do not need to spray as often or as much material, since the suspended particles eventually do settle into the lowest part of the atmosphere and are inhaled by all life forms on the surface. There is an attempt to counter the growth of mold by adding to the mixture mold growth suppressants, some of which may be of biological material. Deep Shield continues. Molds comes in spores that travel on the winds. The polymers can attract mold spores through static changes created by the friction of the polymer threads and the atmosphere. Add a bit of warmth and moisture and mold begins to grow. The polymer is stored in a liquid form as two separate chemicals. When sprayed, they combine behind the planes, spinning a long polymer chain or thread. Much experimentation has been done with the chemical matrix in past years. Many polymers or plastics are non-biodegradable and thus add to the problem of pollution. Various formulas have been used, some which even use biological agents. It would be better if we could reproduce the same web material that spiders make. It is extremely strong, extremely lightweight, and breaks down relatively fast in the ecology. Next question. If the spraying is to mitigate global warming, why does so much of it take place at night? Deep Shield answers. Though it would appear that the dispersal rate of the spray is fast, it actually takes much longer to be an effective shield. There is a desired concentration being sought, one that is thick enough to stem UV and the infrared while being thin enough to allow visible light through. A perpetual cloud cover would have disastrous effects on plant life. The food chain, thus disrupted, would soon collapse. The desired effect wanted is a thin cover that would theoretically create a daytime haze that allows plenty of sunlight while providing protection from UV radiation and also reflect enough infrared to maintain nominal temperatures. Deep Shield continues, the optimal condition is to use the least amount of material to provide the maximum amount of shielding. Ideally, that would be a one-time application which would stay suspended for years. However, as noted, barium and aluminum and other trace elements are far heavier than air and they sink rather rapidly. The different temperatures between day and night causes massive volumes of air to rise during the night. The warm air trapped at the surface rises above the cooling air above. By strategically spraying in certain areas at night, we get the advantage of rising air, which not only pushes the material higher, but also causes the material to disperse into a thin layer. Again, consider and remember as I go through this interview, this is the perspective of a climate engineering insider who is convinced what he is doing is for the common good, which could not be further from the truth. Climate engineering, single greatest causal factor for the ozone destruction to begin with. How can you pretend to mitigate a planetary cataclysm like ozone collapse with the very same programs that caused the majority of damage to begin with? Epitome of insanity. Deep Shield continues. I would suggest studying on the subject of weather, namely highs and lows, how air moves, to fully understand the times of spraying. I note it is not just global warming we are combating here, it is also combating UV summer. Global warming could effectively be treated by applications during the night when the warm air rises. However, the UV needs to be treated during the day. This is why on some days one finds that more spraying is done during the day. The UV indexes are monitored constantly for local areas. If the problem were simply cooling the earth, rockets would have been used to suspend particles in the high atmosphere. However, the delicate nature of the ozone layer precludes this method of shielding. More on this in the answer to question 6. Next question. What other military programs are in place involving the spraying of barium and what other purposes do you know and understand the chemical makeup of the element? Deep Shield answers, a little knowledge will go a long way to understanding the need to use barium. Barium is often used in barium nickel alloys for spark plug electrodes and in vacuum tubes as a drying oxygen removing agent. Barium oxidizes in air and it reacts vigorously with water to form hydroxide, liberating hydrogen. In most air, it may spontaneously ignite. It burns in air to form the peroxide, which produces hydrogen peroxide when treated with water. Barium reacts with almost all of the nonmetals. All of its water-soluble and acid-soluble compounds are poisonous. Barium carbonate is used in glass as a pottery glaze and as a rat poison. Chrome yellow, barium chromate, is used as a paint pigment and in safety matches. The chlorate and nitrate are used in pyrotechnics to provide green color. Barium oxide strongly absorbs carbon dioxide and water. It is used as a drying agent. Barium chloride is used in medical preparations and as a water softener. Barium sulfide phosphoresces and after exposure to light. It is sometimes used as a paint pigment. Barite, the sulfate ore, has many industrial uses because barium sulfate is virtually insoluble in water and acid. Deep Shield's final statement of answer to this question is this. Note what barium oxide can do. Absorb carbon dioxide, one of the chief gases causing the greenhouse effect. No mention of methane in this, by the way. In my answer to question 4, I will discuss the need to carry a current electrical current in the shield. I would like to point out that barium and aluminum work together to diffuse and strengthen an electrical charge, somewhat like the current produced when acid is introduced between two dissimilar metals, such as iron and copper. There are military applications for everything you can think of. The same holds true here. Next question for Deep Shield. What is the connection between ELF, EMF, VLF, and chemtrail/geoengineering spraying? Or is there one? Deep Shield answers. To understand the use of radio waves in the shield, one first understands how ozone is created. I cannot stress to you how dire the situation really is. The shield in place is only a partial solution. Let's stop there for a moment as a reminder. Geoengineering is the single greatest ozone destructing factor of all. It is certainly not mitigation. It is not a cure. It is a curse worse than what it claims to be mitigating. Let's keep that in mind as we read the rest of this from Deep Shield. Deep Shield continues with this. We must counter the depletion of the ozone. This means we must make ozone in the stratosphere. Ozone at ground levels does no good. Indeed, ozone pollution at ground levels is what is used to determine the air quality. Higher levels of ground level ozone mean that the air quality is bad. Pure ozone is unstable, a faintly bluish gas with a characteristic fresh penetrating odor. The ozone layer is, of course, critically important because its formation prevents most ultraviolet and other high-energy radiation, which is harmful to life, from penetrating to the Earth's surface. Deep Shield answers the question of radio frequency transmissions with this final statement. Ozone is also formed when an electric discharge passes through air. The, quote, shield acts like one plate of an electrode. When excited with certain radio waves, it produces an opposite charge to stratospheric layers, producing low atmosphere to stratospheric lightning, creating ozone where it is needed. Think of the hubris of what he is saying, that these academicians feel they have the right to completely intervene with Earth's life support systems, and that's exactly what's happening. What are the results so far? After 70 years of climate engineering, we are in the fast track to a completely lifeless planet, and the single greatest destructive factor at this point in time is climate engineering, which Deep Shield, this individual being interviewed, still delusionally believes is mitigation for anthropogenic damage. Couldn't be further from the truth. Continuing, next question for Deep Shield. If this is being done for the reasons you say, then why are other chemicals being used? Why are the different sprays being used? Question. Deep Shield answers, correcting the ecological damage that mankind has done has never been done before. We are relatively new to this notion of terraforming on a real scale. That is why we are doing it. Terraforming. We are trying to recreate the ideal life-sustaining conditions on a dying planet. We have never done this before, not intentionally. We are testing and trying different methods. Granted, if we do nothing, 89% of all species will go extinct, and humanity stands a high chance of not surviving through two more generations or less. However, the idea of 2 billion casualties, death, and permanent injury is not easy to swallow either. That's the known consequences of climate engineering. It's actually worse than that. Deep Shield continues. Several attempts to improve the application of shielding material and getting the most out of each application are taking place all the time. The combined resources of the nations of Earth are not enough to allow the constant spraying of our skies. Though we have achieved a high level of technology, there is a great surface area that needs to be covered nearly daily. Large sections of oceans are all but ignored. Not the case anymore, by the way. This interview, again, from 2003, we see massive spraying over the oceans now, today, on satellite imagery. Deep Shield continues. The shield would work best if it was a single thin layer without interruption. However, due to the movement of air, weather patterns, and the sad fact that we do not have the means to place ample amounts of materials at the same level at the same time, we are getting a small fraction of the effectiveness from our applications. Next question posed to Deep Shield. Why is spraying found before storm fronts? Is it to cause drought? Question mark. Deep Shield replies with this. Before a storm, there is a front. The front clears the air before a storm, pushing particulate matter ahead of it, leaving a space relatively clear of particulate matter. UV radiation levels rise in these areas, sometimes to dangerous levels. The shield must be maintained. Since barium absorbs water as well as carbon dioxide, precipitation has been affected. Other kinds of sprays are in development and testing, which may reduce the effects on precipitation. As I stated above, this is a new technology, which is not true, by the way. This has been going on for 70 years. This shows the compartmentalization of this individual. He knows what he's been told, and that's it. He finishes, we are working with this new technology. It is still in its infancy, and there is some problems with it. a very big understatement, that final statement from Deep Shield. Next question for Deep Shield. What about the reports of sickness after spraying? Deep Shield answers, there are several causatives for this. Some people are more sensitive to metals, while others are sensitive to the polymer chemicals. As stated in a previous email, people will get sick and some will die. It is estimated that 2 billion worldwide will be affected by the spraying. Without spraying, we have a 90% chance of becoming extinct as a species within the next 20 years. Again, the myopic view of an academician that knows what he's been told and has not been able to examine the bigger picture on his own. Thus, instead of seeing climate engineering for what it is, Deep Shield, this person being interviewed that I'm covering now, instead of seeing the bigger picture for what it is, that climate engineering is the epitome of human insanity, the willful disruption with Earth's life support systems using toxic materials that are contaminating the entire planet, destroying the ozone layer, disrupting the hydrological cycle. I could go on and on. This individual, this academician, like so many other academicians, looking through a tainted lens, not seeing the world clearly. Next question for Deep Shield is this. What is the relationship between these spraying programs and the One World Order? Deep Shield answers, personally, I am against the move for globalization. And yes, there's a potential to use the shield to speed up the process of globalization. There are several countries that are involved in this project. European Union nations, USA and Russia are the largest contributors to the project. Many of the allied nations and UN members participate to one extent or another. The material, the chemical spray, if you wish to call it, comes from all these nations. To ensure that the chemicals are not tampered with, they are mixed and sprayed over random nations. This means that chemicals produced in the USA have a good chance of being sprayed over Russia, England, or the USA. This random spray of materials means that no nation would be certain that their chemicals will be sprayed over a nation which they have issues with. Russian planes, for example, may be seen in the USA, US skies, but so too will US planes be seen in Russian skies. The canisters used are sealed in a third nation that has no idea where its canisters are going. Participating nations have their observers at every station where canister loading is done. All of this is to ensure that the shield is not, quote, used as a weapon. Without the, quote, shield, UV poisoning would cause great death. The threat is a common one, which has brought nations together in defense. The natural outcome of having a common enemy is to strengthen international ties, a step toward globalization. About ozone destruction, please review the data on geoengineeringwatch.org, the interview with the NASA tech that's working directly with geoengineeringwatch.org. Geoengineering itself is the single greatest cause of ozone destruction. So again, consider the insanity of this individual or his perspectives to think that spraying the sky with these ozone-destroying materials is actually mitigation for the ozone destruction that it is itself causing, the epitome of human insanity. Continuing with this interview, the next question for Deep Shield is this. Is the spraying related to terrorism? Deep Shield answers, yes and no. Recent terrorist activity can be traced to resistance groups who feel that we should not interfere with the natural order of things. As you know, there are many rumors out there as to what the Shield program is. There are many theories which have sinister plots in them. These are propagated by the resistance groups in an attempt to stop the Shield, regardless of the consequences. Deep Shield continues with this statement. The same delivery method could be used for biological and chemical warfare. It could also be used to inoculate large populations. The effectiveness of these uses are low. There are better methods that can be used. As a means to fight terrorism, it is ineffectual. It is far easier to inoculate a population individually and would ensure full inoculation against germ warfare. We already have covered vaccinations over and over, which just individual clearly believes are a good thing. Yet more signs of his incorrect view of the world and what he is involved with. Next question for Deep Shield. Why all the secrecy? Due to the severity of the situation, it is mandatory to maintain public calm for as long as possible. The Earth is dying. He's correct on that point. And he's participating in killing it, something which he clearly does not see. Humanity is on the road to extinction. Without the shield, mankind would die off in 20 years. Most people alive today could live to see this extinction take place. This means that an announcement of the situation we face boils down to telling every man, woman, and child on earth that they have no future, that they are going to be killed. People would panic. There would be economic collapse. The production and movement of goods would collapse. Millions would die in all cities on earth. Riots and violence would reduce civilian centers to rubble within days. Half the population in dense metropolitan areas would try to leave the cities, seeking, quote, safety in the rural areas, thinking that they would be safe. Those left behind in the cities would be at war with their neighbors, fighting for the remaining supplies. We would be telling the world that the world is coming to an end, and even with the shield, the chances of survival are small. This is the mentality of such people in the military-industrial complex. Let's keep business as usual, even at the cost of killing the entire planet to do so. Keep business as usual until the last possible moment, no matter what the consequences are. This is his mentality. He continues, UV summer and global warming are the immediate problem we face. There are far greater problems that are raising their ugly heads and will present new problems, which in some cases have no viable solutions at this time. Ecologies are collapsing. The extinction rate of species is climbing. The amount of chemical pollutants in the water and soil are fast approaching in many places, and in many places has surpassed the Earth's ability to heal itself. Crop failure is escalating. Even in the U.S., the returns on crops are much smaller than they were 10 years ago. This is in 2003. It's much worse now. Even with the advances in genetically altered food crops, which he apparently believes in as well, he states, we are falling behind our ability to produce enough to go around. Throughout the 20th century, chemical fertilizers and pesticides were used to ensure the best yields. Unfortunately, many of these have contaminated groundwater, killed beneficial insects, along with undesirable insects. These chemicals have gotten into the food chain and are affecting other species besides mankind. It is only a matter of years before famine spreads like a cancer throughout the world. I'm going to bypass some of the details in this question to get to other questions in this interview as I'm running out of time. Next question for Deep Shield is this: when will the spraying stop? He answers, there are several factors governing this. One, should the ozone layer repair itself, or should our active attempts to repair the ozone hole reduce the amount of ground level UV to acceptable levels, the spraying will stop. Obviously, that's not going to happen when geoengineering itself is destroying the ozone layer. Again, the tunnel vision, myopic mentality of so many in the military-industrial complex believing, convincing themselves that what they are doing is for the greater good, which couldn't be further from the truth. And how many examples of this do we have to have? From nuclear power to the nuclear weapons that many believe are somehow providing security for us, they're doing anything but that. They're ensuring planetary omnicide, just as this person, Deep Shield, believes his involvement with the climate engineering insanity is something good when it's anything but. It's the single most destructive factor on the planet today, short of nuclear cataclysm. He finishes after stating the spraying will stop if their programs, which are destroying the ozone, somehow repair the ozone layer, which will never happen. He says then the spraying will stop. He further states present calculations place this between 2018 and 2024. He stated this in 2003. Are we any closer to anything being any better? No, it's far worse. Climate engineering is not a cure, it's a curse worse than anything it claims to mitigate. Deep Shield continues with this second statement about when will the spraying stop. Should another method be found which is more effective, less costly, or presents us with long-term solutions, the Shield project would be replaced. Three, when the other problems become too big to make the maintenance of the Shield worth the effort. The estimated date for this is between 2025 and 2050. We're already unfolding into that scenario now. Next question for Deep Shield. Since global warming and UV summer are the problem, why are governments backing down on their pollution controls? Deep Shield answers, because they are ineffectual and will cause more economic problems than they would solve ecological problems. We surpassed the thresholds of Earth's ability to absorb pollutants in the 1970s. Since that time, the Earth's population has nearly doubled. Emerging industrial nations have come into being. More pollutants are being produced now than back then, even with the stringent controls in place. The world is heading for economic depression. More emission controls would add to the economic problems. This translates into our being unable to do anything to start solving the problem. Deep Shields answers with this statement: unfortunately, our technologies require a strong economy to advance. We need that advancement. We need the trillions of dollars spent on research that a strong economy causes. Let's stop there for a moment. I'm not going to be able to cover this entire interview. It's too long. I will post the link to the entire interview in the post for this week's Global Alert News at geoengineeringwatch.org under the top stories and recent column. But let's look at what Deep Shield just stated, that it is necessary to have an expanding economy to create the revenue needed to support the climate engineering programs. This is the snake eating its own tail. How long can that last? That the very mitigation that this individual that's a part of these programs believes is some stopgap measure, mitigation for anthropogenic damage to the planet, again, with programs that are the epitome of that damage to the planet. This is the sort of insanity that is running the military-industrial complex, or guiding it, and thus guiding the entire human race towards certain near-term omnicide. I want to cover a few of the key last questions in this interview. Again, I'm not able to cover the entire interview here. I don't have enough time. Another question for Deep Shield was this: are you prepared to comment upon your personal motives for sharing this information? He replies, no, not at this time. Second question: have you signed a non-disclosure or Secrets Act document that specifically relates to this project? His answer, yes. Next question: to your knowledge, what categories of individuals officially know the project and are expected to remain silent? For example, my list of suspects includes government down to the county level, military, especially Air Force, meteorologists, health specialists, and mainstream media, etc. Deep Shield answers: all those who know are expected to remain silent. All of those who suspect are either faced with trying to prove the virtually unprovable or are faced with a good enough reason, i.e. threats, to remain silent. I would assume that the situation is worldwide and could be considered one of the dangers of this project. It was presented to me as a matter of national security. I can see the reasons why there is a desire to repress the information, not that the spraying is taking place, but that the hard little fact that we are facing a period of human history which might be the end of civilization. No might. There's no might. Industrialized, militarized civilization is done. It's in its death throes now. Next question for Deep Shield: is the mainstream controlled media specifically ordered to avoid any mention of chemtrails, aka geoengineering? If so, have you anything further to add to such as how was this done? Deep Shield answers: I would assume that the media is controlled by its own desire to make money from what it reports, since there is enough debunking out there which says that, quote, contrails are part of the normal use of jet engines in the atmosphere. This would leave a reporter with very little to report unless there was solid evidence or pictures or something that could not be explained away, which we now have, by the way. Senate documents, presidential documents, and film footage that can't be denied for anyone who chooses to objectively investigate. Next question for Deep Shield: what government agency or agencies control this program? Is it under international control? Deep Shield answers: it is an international program. Many nations contribute in different ways. Measures have been taken to ensure that what is sprayed over all countries is the same through triple-blind deliveries, which include not knowing where a certain canister will end up, not knowing which aircraft a certain canister will be flown on, and not even knowing who in military craft will be piloting an aircraft which has the purpose of spraying. In today's world, there are usually mixed crews of different nationalities flying in one military aircraft on a SHIELD mission. Next question for Deep Shield: how is the project funded? Who pays for it? Have you any idea the total direct operating cost? Also, does Canada make a funding contribution for the activities in our skies? Most governments, Deep Shield's answers, most governments tend to overcharge themselves to cover for their black operations, quote, unofficial operations. That money comes out of the collection of taxes. So in effect, taxpayers of the world are paying for this project. We, the taxpayers, paying to be sprayed in this grand and lethal experiment. Although we know that the central banks are printing whatever they want to fund whatever they want on top of that. That's the bottom line. Next question for Deep Shield: is the SHIELD project the only such aerial spraying program? Deep Shield answers: is it the only project designed to avert ecological disaster? Then yes, but there are countless other projects that could be taking place which include spraying of some sort or another. How reassuring, isn't it? There is no oversight over what's happening in our skies, and the population below seems so incredibly, willfully oblivious, unconcerned, and programmed into believing if they ignore the problem long enough, it will magically go away. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I want to cover our last few questions in this interview. I am skipping some of the questions and many of the details because there's not enough time to cover them here. I encourage people to read the interview in its entirety. Again, it will be posted at geoengineeringwatch.org under this week's Global Alert News Edition for December 30th, 2017. Another question for Deep Shield, the geoengineering program insider. Question: is all the spraying done using the tank kits described earlier, or are KC-135Rs and KC-10 types used? Deep Shield answers: several types of craft are used. Commercial jetliners are also used, and they are not diverted from their flight paths to do so. He gives further details with this question. I don't have time to cover those details here. Again, encourage everybody to look at the interview in its entirety. Let's cut straight to the health impacts question for Deep Shield. That's the bottom line. What's it doing to us? What's it doing to the web of life? Here's the question for Deep Shield. Where are the official sources that state that a certain number of people worldwide will sicken and possibly die as a result of the spraying? In other words, what internal studies have been done on the health issues and who carried them out? Deep Shield answers this. The World Health Organization carried out most of the studies. Other nations have carried out their own research on the matter. Some have said the ill effects will be minimal, along the lines of a million or so, but others have found the numbers to be staggeringly higher, 3 to 4 billion. Everyone is affected by these programs. And think about this, the World Health Organization, a part of this cover-up. Why is that a surprise? Why is it a surprise that the CDC is involved? CDC also involved with vaccination cover-ups. We have an entire structure of governmental control around the globe in every country that in one form or another is completely corrupt, and even to the point of these countries colluding and cooperating on the global atmospheric spraying program that they are using to mask the severity of climate disintegration from the public and conduct weather warfare and conduct over-the-horizon radar and conduct various forms of communication, biological experimentation. The list goes on and on and on. And governments of the globe are actively colluding and cooperating. That is why, if we can expose the climate engineering insanity, and I encourage again everybody to read this interview in its entirety, and I can't cover it here, I'm just simply out of time, but we have recognized global organizations like the World Health Organization and the CDC involved, Centers for Disease Control, involved and named in this interview by this geoengineering insider that was found dead shortly after this interview. And it is much more detailed than what I'm able to cover here. But the point is this, all these dots connect, all of them. The severity of the situation is clear. And the insanity of the attempt to tech our way out of the damage done by the human race with yet more tech, yet more damage to the planet, and the epitome of climate engineering that is itself now the largest causal factor for the ozone destruction, which current data states we could be facing total collapse in the next 8 to 10 years, game over for life on Earth, terrestrial life on Earth at least. Every single day that climate engineering is allowed to continue pounds the final nails into our collective coffins. What are each of us going to do as we enter 2018? What are each of us going to spend our time on in the coming year? Will we pretend this is not happening? Will we go about our lives and pursue our personal pleasures in order to get along with our family and friends and not to disrupt their ignorant bliss? Or will we face this issue head on? Will we face the storm head on? Will we do our part for the collective good while we can? Now is when we decide why we're here and what life is all about. Now, let's make 2018 the year of focusing on the greater good and what our part is in fighting for the greater good and fighting to preserve any future at all for our children and for the web of life. For those who are not speaking out due to fear of repercussions, I would ask this. What are you afraid of exactly? We are all passengers on a rapidly sinking ship, planet Earth. There's no place to hide. If we have any chance whatsoever of averting near-term planetary omnicide, it will be a result of our collective efforts to sound the alarm in order to alter the current course of our species. This battle cannot be waged by only a few on behalf of the many. The effort will take all of us. Each and every individual who is already awake must help with the effort to pull back the curtain of lies and deception. Do your part. Make your voice heard.
Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with GeoengineeringWatch.org.